Hey, fellow Okies and all true crime enthusiasts. I'm Cece, the host, writer, and producer of this, the Sooner State True Crime Podcast. Welcome, y'all, to the second season of the show. This was supposed to be a bonus episode for the month to launch the new season. However, life has really thrown me some curveballs the last 2 months. I have not discussed much about my personal life in the show, but I made an exception last month when I vented about our abrupt move. Its purpose was to explain the unscheduled break. I also wish to explain why I had to adjust the schedule for this month and why I'm just unable to produce a third episode. The COVID-19 pandemic, like so many Americans, has caused my financial situation to deteriorate rapidly. Pre-pandemic, I was working at least 30 hours a week and earning enough money to cover all my expenses. Finances were tight, but we made it through. But once the virus entered the US and caused massive shutdowns, my income was cut in half, or over 50% actually. Long story short, I'm not technically unemployed, so I'm ineligible for any benefits, but unfortunately, I can't afford to pay for the roof over our heads and put food on the table with my current income. So I know I still owe you amazing listeners a bonus episode, and you will get one. But before then, I have to focus most of my free time and energy applying for a new job or earning extra money by delivering food with Postmates and DoorDash. So until an announcement is made, new episodes will be released on the 1st and 15th of the month. And I know I'm late this month, but I kind of explained why. I appreciate y'all so much for listening to the podcast, and I hope y'all are enjoying the shows. And please bear with me while I go through this very stressful and difficult time. And be sure y'all are subscribed to us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever app you prefer, so you never miss a new upcoming episode. And please leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review. And follow our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at OK Crime State. And the sources for this and every episode are listed on our website, crimestate.weebly.com. And I'd love to hear what y'all think of the show, any case suggestions, or just say hi. So email me at crimestatepod@gmail.com. We really need your support, listeners, now more than ever. So please, please, please donate to our chip jar at paypal.me/crimestate. And shout out to Brandy from Anadarko, Oklahoma for donating my first one. Thank you. Leave a tip to receive your own shout out and a special handwritten card from me. paypal.me/crimestate. All links are in the show notes. Now, let's get into our case for this episode. The unsolved murders of Julie Mason and Keegan Bruce. In December of 2016, the Oklahoma City Fire Department was called to a house fire in OKC. Once the flames were extinguished, firefighters discovered a gruesome scene in the back bedroom of the home. The bodies of Julie Mason and her 8-year-old son, Keegan, were located together in a back bedroom. Initially, I had decided to not cover crimes against children in the podcast, but my position has changed. In certain circumstances, like today's case, I am going to cover a crime against a child, so please be aware. I chose to cover this crime with the ultimate goal of getting justice for the victims and their families. So, come away with me to Northwest Oklahoma City in mid-December 2016, where the following crime occurred. Julie Mason and her sister Jill were only 13 months apart in age, which led to their closeness almost like twins. They both were in their high school's drum line, and they loved attending all the band activities together throughout high school. Julie became a mother in 2008, when she gave birth to her son, Keegan Bruce. She was a wonderful mother and devoted her life to her son. Julie worked as a lead conversion specialist at a local image conversion company. Her coworker, Danielle, who worked side-by-side Julie for almost 3 years, remembered her friend fondly.
Quote, we started on the same day together, so she pretty much instantly became my best friend there, Danielle recalled. Quote, the first thing I noticed about her was her humor. She was hilarious, and we couldn't last more than 5 minutes without cracking each other up. Danielle went on to detail Julie's irreplaceable work ethic, and what a great mother to Keegan she was. Quote, she was such a loving mom, and she talked about Keegan constantly. Every single second she worked was for him in their life, Danielle explained. As adults, Julie and her sister Jill were just as close as when they were growing up. They enjoyed sitting around campfires, spending time at the lake, and took family vacations together. Julie and Keegan had a special connection between mother and son. The love, warmth, and light in their eyes can easily be seen in pictures of the pair. Keegan had a silly, goofy personality, and Julie was always laughing with her son. Quote, their worlds revolved around each other. The love they had for each other was hands down a treasure, Jill Mason recalled. Keegan was a Cub Scout and was getting ready to start playing soccer at the YMCA. Keegan loved riding bikes and playing with his dog Bella. The family, including Jill and Julie's mother Ruthie, loved camping together even in the wintertime. Quote, he was a very spunky second grader, Jill remembered. Quote, he had such a big personality. I miss him so much. Keegan's neighbor, Bill Hodgkins, said of the boy, quote, he was the type of kid that wasn't into all that kids are into now. iPhones, computers, stuff like that. He was my generation of kid, which basically an outside type of kid. That warm December day, Julie and Keegan made plans with Aunt Jill for the next day to go shopping and then bake Christmas cookies together. A Mason family tradition. Tragically, those cookies would never be enjoyed, and all traditions of love end broken.
December 16, 2016 was an unusually warm day in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Very close sisters Julie and Jill Mason made plans to go shopping the following day in order to get the necessary ingredients to bake cookies with Julie's 8-year-old son, Keegan Bruce. The cookie baking had been a family tradition for years with the sisters. When Jill said her goodbyes to her sister and nephew that day, she felt like everything was completely normal. She could not even fathom the horror coming the next day to devastate her family. In the early morning of December 17, 2016, the Oklahoma City Fire Department was called to a house fire in the 1100 block of Northwest 80th Street near Western Avenue. A nearby neighbor of Julie's noticed the smoke billowing from the house and called 911. Firefighters arrived at the burning house at 4:58 a.m., which was located at 1137 Northwest 80th Street in Oklahoma City. After the firemen had put out the blaze, they entered the home. Once inside the torched house, investigators located the bodies of 41-year-old Julie Mason and her 8-year-old son, Keegan Bruce, in a back bedroom together. Julie was pronounced dead at the scene, but Keegan still showed some signs of life and was rushed to a nearby hospital. Tragically, Keegan died at the hospital shortly after arrival. Quote, I never got to see or hold them again, said Ruthie Mason, the mother and grandmother of the deceased. She was at her home in Waco, Texas, when she received a call that every mother and grandmother fears the most. Quote, they said that there was a fire at the house. Before she could even pack up and set out to drive to Oklahoma City, Ruthie received a second call from her other daughter, saying Julie Mason and Keegan Bruce had been found murdered. Investigators now had a double murder on their hands, in addition to the intentionally set fire. It was quickly made aware to the police that this mother and son had been physically assaulted before the fire was set. The manner of death for both, Julie and Keegan, was ruled homicide. The Oklahoma City Fire Department also quickly ruled the fire was intentionally set. The fire destroyed the majority of the house, as well as any possible evidence located inside the home. The autopsy report shed the most light on what Julie and her son had to endure before their home was set ablaze. The medical examiner ruled both Julie and Keegan's manner of death as homicide. The ME reported that Mason died from multiple trauma due to sharp force, blunt force, and thermal damage. Police also suspected that Julie was sexually assaulted, in addition to the physical trauma. She also suffered from at least 32 stab wounds. The autopsy report also read that Mason suffered, quote, multiple sharp force trauma to the head, neck, torso, and upper extremities. Six of Julie's injuries were consistent with defensive wounds, meaning she definitely fought with her killer. Julie also suffered blunt force trauma to her head. She endured a broken jaw, as well as first and third degree burns to her body. Julie's 8-year-old son, Keegan Bruce, was also brutally murdered and set on fire. His autopsy report stated that Keegan died from sharp force trauma, smoke inhalation, and thermal injuries from the fire. Police said the young boy suffered stab wounds to his head, neck, and upper extremities. He was also stabbed twice in the back of his head, and several more to the sides and front of his face. The autopsy report explained that a stab wound to the right side of Keegan's face passed through his skull and entered his brain. Bruce also had more cuts to his neck and arms. Keegan also suffered burns from first degree to complete charring caused by the house fire. Tragically, investigators on the scene believed the young boy was still alive once they located his body inside the burning home, which caused him to be rushed to the hospital. This fact was confirmed by the autopsy, when soot was found inside Keegan's nose, mouth, and airways. The Mason home was severely damaged by the intentionally set fire, which caused evidence to be destroyed. The house was eventually just torn down. Quote, I miss my baby. I miss my baby girl so much, Julie's mom, Ruthie Mason, said. Ruthie also had been unable to stomach reading the autopsy reports. Quote, I have not brought myself to actually look at it or go to the police station to pick it up. I can't do it, she said. Friends and neighbors made a memorial on the Mason's front yard with toys that Keegan loved. A bright green sweatshirt that he left at a friend's house was wrapped around a big teddy bear. Ruthie stated that the memorial meant a lot to her family. Family friends of Mason and Bruce also set up a fundraiser to help their family pay for funeral expenses, which continued to show the love people had for Julie and Keegan and their community. Such a tragic, unnecessary, and senseless crime.
Hey fellow Okies and all true crime enthusiasts out there, Cece here, and I've got to tell y'all about one of my all-time favorite podcasts, Sword and Scale. Sword and Scale practically invented a new podcast genre in 2014, well before other popular shows. Sword and Scale is the longest standing true crime podcast to combine 911 calls and interrogation audio to tell bone-chilling, real-life stories. The show's creator and host, Mike Boudet, expertly narrates each shocking episode to fully immerse the audience into a story that proves the worst monsters are real. Sword and Scale is available bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today and leave them a review. That's Sword and Scale. Also available at swordandscale.com. Subscribe today and give it a listen. Sword and Scale, proving that the worst monsters are real.
This episode is sponsored by Swanson Health. Swanson Health is the only company to offer the full spectrum of wellness products for the mind, body, and home. From quality vitamins and supplements, to cruelty-free beauty items, to eco-friendly home products, Swanson Health is here to keep you healthy. Swanson Health carries over 20,000 wellness products at a great value, pick up all of your favorite health products, plus discover new ones for your wellness routine, all while leaving money in your pocket. If you want to try any of Swanson Health's great products for yourself, use code TRUE20 for 20% off swanson.com.
More than 2 months passed, and the Mason family still had no answers to any questions about the case. Officer Megan Morgan with the Oklahoma City Police Department stated shortly after the murders, quote, "Investigators are still looking into every possible lead to figure out what exactly happened at the house that night." Julie and Keegan's family offered a $20,000 reward for any information that led to the conviction of the perpetrator. Mason's mother, Ruthie, explained her worry because no one has come forward with any information yet about the crime. Ruthie asked, quote, "Why would anyone want to hurt her? Why would anyone want to hurt an 8-year-old boy?" Police were asking the same questions, but they did state the fire had made answering that question much more difficult. Quote, "Between the fire, the smoke, water damage, and firefighters being in there doing what they have to do, it just means the crime scene, it has some damage," said Benny Fulkerson with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. Jill Mason, Julie's sister and Keegan's aunt, would frequently post on Facebook about how deeply she misses the pair and pled for anyone with any information about the crime to please come forward to police. Quote, "I pray every day that the person that did this to them will be caught and convicted. I don't think it will give my family any kind of closure, but I'm sure to find comfort knowing that a horrible person is off the streets and isn't going to be able to hurt another innocent person," Jill wrote. Police continued to remain tight-lipped for months regarding details of the investigation into the double murder. However, police did eventually identify a possible suspect to this horrific crime. Investigators in the double murder case suspected that Julie Mason was sexually assaulted, in addition to her brutal murder. Those investigators also learned about a suspect in another but nearby sexual assault. That suspect was 25-year-old Jimmy McCoy III. While investigators looked for other sexual assaults in the area of Mason's home, they discovered McCoy was a suspect in the rape of an elderly woman just down the street from the homicides. Investigators questioned McCoy about his whereabouts at the time of the murders. He appeared very nervous and also to be withholding information about his location. Later, police were able to debunk Corey's alibi. Investigators questioned McCoy about his whereabouts at the time of the murders. He appeared very nervous and also to be withholding information about his location. Later, police were able to debunk McCoy's alibi by tracking his cell phone data. This data proved that McCoy was either in the area of the victim's home or near his own home at the time of the murders. He only lived a block north of Julian Keegan. Surveillance video from the area also show a person approach the victim's house from the north. The same person is seen again walking back to the north, around the time the fire had started. In addition, McCoy had some small cuts on his hands when being questioned, and he claimed they were from masonry work. While under suspicion for the double murder of Julian Keegan, Jimmy McCoy was arrested for damaging his ex-girlfriend's apartment on April 9, 2017. While in custody at the Oklahoma County Jail, McCoy either had a real seizure or faked a seizure and was taken to Integrus Baptist Medical Center in Oklahoma City for treatment. McCoy was uncuffed from his hospital bed to use the restroom when, quote, "he ran out of his hospital bed while completely naked in an attempt to escape custody," an officer wrote in an affidavit. An officer began to chase after McCoy, who fled down the hallway into the hospital room of 48-year-old Reginald Henry Morrissey. Morrissey was hospitalized after he had suffered a stroke. Quote, my patient is in there, a doctor tells the Oklahoma City police officers. McCoy jumped on the victim's bed and stood on the man while he tried to climb up into the ceiling. Quote, get off of him, get off of him, a nurse in the room screamed. Then McCoy tried to jump through the window, shattering the glass. That is when McCoy is finally pepper sprayed, hit with a baton, and finally detained. Quote, I just want to go, McCoy yells as he's taken down. The Oklahoma City police officer states, quote, hey, get us a nurse over here. He's bleeding pretty good. After he handcuffed McCoy to a gurney. McCoy repeatedly said, quote, I'm bleeding to death, and complained he can't breathe. Finally, McCoy asked if his victim, Morrissey, is all right. Quote, what's wrong with him? Is he okay? Is the other dude okay? What's wrong with him? The officer asked for a tourniquet to stop McCoy's bleeding. He then asked another officer to hold McCoy so he can catch his breath due to the pepper spray. The medical staff are giving orders between their own coughs and gags from the spray as they try and assist Mr. Morrissey. Finally, he is removed from the room. Tragically, 5 days later, Mr. Morrissey started having seizures and died, according to his autopsy report. His manner of death was also ruled a homicide by the medical examiner, caused by a blood clot in his lungs. This autopsy report went on to say that McCoy contributed to Morrissey's homicide by compromising the victim's hospital care. McCoy was being held on a burglary complaint, but prosecutors added murder charges after the death of Morrissey. In addition, he was charged with attempted escape from custody. Shortly after McCoy's incident at the hospital, police continued to investigate him for the double homicide. In mid-May 2017, police filed 2 search warrants for McCoy's vehicle and his cell phone information. Despite being a possible suspect in the murder of Julie Mason and her son Keegan Bruce, Jimmy McCoy has never been charged. Quote, unfortunately, they don't have anything. Well, they don't have enough, Julie's mom said. Quote, I'm scared it's not going to get solved in time to save someone else, Ruthie went on. She also has a message for those who know who's responsible or are themselves responsible. Quote, if you know who did this, or you did, your conscience, turn yourself in. Ruthie also calls her daughter's killer a coward and vows to never stop searching for the person or people responsible. The Mason family is still offering a cash reward for any information that leads to an arrest in this case. So please, if you know anything, big or small, that may help bring closure to this family, please call the Oklahoma City Police Homicide Tip Line at 405-297-1200. To this day, no one has ever been arrested for the murder of Julie Mason and her son, Keegan Bruce. The December 17th, 2016, double murder of Julie Mason and her 8-year-old son, Keegan Bruce, was especially heinous and completely senseless. Police have no additional suspects, evidence, or any idea of motive in the case. The lack of answers and evidence has been especially difficult on the loved ones of Julie and Keegan. Who would savagely take the lives of this Oklahoma mother and her young son, who both had absolutely no enemies? Quote, they are amazing people, Jill Mason said of her sister and nephew. Quote, everyone they met loved them. Every day is a new day of pain and sorrow, Jill continued. Quote, I try to think of them being happy, healthy, free from anxiety, fear, pressures, but I just can't stop missing them and wishing they were here with me. I look back at pictures and wonder, how could someone do this to them? How could they take these precious people from me? I will never understand that. The Mason family holds on to their memories that they cherish of their loved ones, as well as the faith that they are home together in heaven. Jill and Julie's grandmother, Louise, explained, quote, "I could cry a million tears here, but it isn't going to do anyone any good. Keegan and Julie are in a better place, and they are happier than they have ever been, and wouldn't trade places with us for anything." Keegan met his good friend Justin in the year before his death. The two boys were quickly close friends. It was Keegan's fun spirit that Justin enjoyed most. Quote, "Keegan was very adventurous," Justin said. He went on to say that after finding out about his friend's murder, quote, "It's hard. We hung out a lot during the summer. He would come by pretty much every day." Justin also said, quote, "This adventurous kid, his life was taken from him." Quote, "It hit real close to home. It just breaks my heart," said Justin's mom. Quote, "I just pray that there can be some good that comes out of this." To say Julie and Keegan are missed is an understatement. Not only did they mean the world to each other, but they were loved by so many as well. They were a sister, a daughter, a classmate, a coworker, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, and they were viciously and tragically attacked, and their lives were stolen on a mid-December night when they should have been safe at home in their own beds with Christmas in their dreams. So please, if you have any information about the December 17th, 2016 murder of Julie Mason and her 8-year-old son Keegan Bruce and the arson fire to their home in Northwest Oklahoma City, please call the Oklahoma City Homicide Tip Line at 405-297-1200. Hey there, fellow Okies and all true crime enthusiasts. Thanks for listening to the unsolved murders of Julie Mason and Keegan Bruce. This was such a senseless and mind-boggling crime. The person responsible is obviously very dangerous and needs to be off the streets ASAP. So please, if you or someone you know has any information regarding the December 17th, 2016 murders of Julie Mason and Keegan Bruce, please call Oklahoma City Police at 405-235-7300. Let's help bring some justice for these victims and their families. And I promise I will be back with a new episode on October 1st. Subscribe to us in all podcast apps so you never miss a new upcoming episode. Follow our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at OK Crime State. And please send me your comments or case suggestions to our email at soonerstatecrimepod@gmail.com. Sources for each episode are listed on our website, crimestate.weebly.com. Links are in the show notes. And now more than ever, we really need your support to ensure that new episodes keep coming. Please donate whatever you can to our tip jar at paypal.me/crimestate. You'll get a shout out and a special handmade card by me. It'll be much appreciated, y'all. And if you can't support financially, please leave us a 5-star review in Apple for free. This fall, I'll be covering more shocking Oklahoma-based crimes from the earliest 20th century to more recent ones. New episodes will be released on the 1st and 15th of each month, unless notified otherwise. So please, until next time, stay sooner safe out there, y'all.